throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than I'm not afraid to die.
Won't you just take a few moments and just worship the Lord and tell God I love you more than anything? I've been through a lot. I've seen a lot. I've come a long way. And Lord, I just want you to know I love you more than anything. So Lord, I love you even when my lips are poked out. I love you even when I'm not really acting like I do. Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you more than anything. Yes. Oh, my God. His name means everything, doesn't it? There's a whole lot of people running around trying to get Gucci and Fendi. I want the name of Jesus on me. Oh, my God. My God. Woo. Yeah. Doesn't he mean everything to you? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, come on. I love him. I love him. I really. Oh, come on. Anybody know that you don't know? He gave me the victory. So how do you feel about him? I love him. I really. Oh, yeah. Come on. Just point to somebody. Tell them you don't know. He gave me the victory. That's why I love him. I love him. I really. Can you put your mind on something he's done for you? You don't know. He gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. Oh, anybody come out of something you wasn't supposed to come out of? You don't know. How he gave me the victory. That's why today I love him. I love him. Oh, yeah. Think about what he's done for you. If you had a chance to stand before him, how would you tell him? Put those hands together and worship the Lord. Come on, just worship him. Let him know how grateful you are that he loves you. Hallelujah. Won't you pray with me? God, my Father, I want to thank you for this moment of fellowship and this time of worship. We're here because we need you. We've got needs, God. And in the days that we live in, we have questions about our lives and our future. So please consecrate me now to your service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Draw me nearer. Freshly anoint my mouth, my mind, my motives, and my method of proclamation. God, give me the words to say to your people. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight, because you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We honor the Spirit of Christ today. Certainly we praise God for our worship leader, Reverend Ricks, and Reverend Andrews, Minister Purnell, and all of our officers, the mothers of our church, our wonderful First Lady. Amen. And all of you, my sisters and brothers in Christ and creation, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. We're grateful for those members who are back in church after a spell with illness or procedure. We praise God for those who are back in church after dealing with something. Amen. Amen. It's good to have family back at the table. Amen. And we pray that God was with you then as he is with you now. I'm going to ask if you would just turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13. And as you stand to your feet, we want to give God our affirmation about his word. Amen. Amen. While you're finding John chapter 13, those who can stand, please stand. Amen. Amen. If you can't, we understand. Amen. But if you can, then go ahead and stand. I'm going to say these words with me. Lord, we love you. We are here to worship. We're here to learn. We're here to love and be saturated in your presence. Elevate our thinking and our living through your word. Lord, feed us with your word. Through your word, we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We know we are loved, blessed, and healed. We know we have favor. Our sins can be forgiven, and our lives have meaning and purpose because of your word. I am confident that I am good enough, important enough, and smart enough to live a fulfilling life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm ready for your word. Feed us your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to John chapter 13. I want to read for your hearing verses 1 through 5 and then verses 12 through 15. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And we ask that the Lord would bless the reading of his word in advance. Beginning at verse 1 of the 13th chapter, it says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper. The devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him." Moving down to verse 12, "After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, 'Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you.'" Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach as the Lord show guide that ministry starts within. Ministry starts within. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My sisters and my brothers, this is an exciting time to be a Christian. Even if you're not a Christian, it's still an exciting time to be a Christian. Similar to the days of the first century church, Christianity is under attack. It's under attack by people in our culture, by the government, and sometimes even from within. Oh, my God, it's a crucial time for us to refine and renew our walk with Christ. And this morning, the Lord has blessed us with a remarkable scripture for self-reflection. So I ask that you engage the scripture this morning with me as we look at the example of what it means to have a ministry mindset. Imagine yourself walking into a room filled with people. You have their undivided attention, but instead of wondering who will notice you or how you will be treated, instead of wondering if the other people are going to speak first or if they will accept you, imagine your first thought being, who can I serve today? Imagine your first thought being, how can I help? Or what can I give without expecting reciprocation? That is what happens when you have a ministry mindset. That is what happens when you are a servant of God, when you do as Jesus did. You see, the word minister literally means servant. And this idea is lost in our society because our callous and corrupt culture is filled with people who chase power, status, wealth, and recognition. Our culture is obsessed with physical pleasure, social popularity, and having everything their way. But what we really need is people who will chase the fulfillment of God's will in their lives and people who will pursue opportunities to serve humanity. I've come to recognize that many believe ministry is reserved for pastors and leaders, but Jesus calls all believers to serve, which means you are all already in ministry. Today, many Christians, or shall I say people who will go to church, aren't looking to serve. They are looking to be served, and they want everything given to them for free. They don't come with palms down seeking to give. They come with palms up looking to receive. There are so many who will see areas of the ministry where help is needed, volunteers are needed, financial support is required, prayer is necessary, and sit in their seat without lifting a finger to help, and then have the mitigated gall to criticize those who are giving it all they have. Oh, but in this text, Jesus provides us with a radically different method of operating as a Christian. His method includes humility, selflessness, and watch this, I'm going to say a bad word, service. In John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, Jesus models servant leadership by washing his disciples' feet. You see, my sisters and brothers, faithful ministry is not about position. It's about action. True ministry is not about your title. It's about your sacrifice. Authentic ministry is not about your tenure. It's about your commitment. Impactful ministry is not about what you want to be called by the people. It's about serving the one who saved you and is calling you to serve. This ideology seems to have been forgotten, and people seem so self-absorbed that they miss the moments when they can actually be a blessing to somebody else. I believe there are a number of reasons for this. For one, many Christians struggle because they suffer from a consumer mindset, even in church. They view themselves as clients or customers rather than as a family or an army of believers. Others treat God as if he's a spiritual genie in a bottle. They treat him as if his only job is to grant every wish, prevent every problem, and approve everything that they do in their lives. So many aren't looking to serve because they are looking to be served. Many will never give but will always take. Look at somebody and ask them, are you a taker or a giver? And then I'll be you in church. Make sure you answer truthfully. Are you a taker or are you a giver? All of the takers was like, oh, I wish he'd move on. Amen. All the givers were proud to say, yeah, I'm a giver. But I'm, oh, God. And so Jesus challenges this mindset with his disciples. He teaches that greatness in the kingdom is found in humility and service. He teaches them the importance of having a ministry mindset. Oh, yeah, the blessing in our scripture is that Jesus teaches this within his circle first, because it always starts within before it can move without. Because having a ministry mindset must start within before it will ever be effective on the outside. You can't develop an effective mind for ministry for others if you don't have a mind for ministry among yourselves and for yourself. And as long as there is discontent, unforgiveness, competition, jockeying for position, and selfishness among the people of God, those lost in their sin will be forsaken by those who've been commissioned to compel them to come to Jesus. But you can't compel somebody to come to one that you haven't gone to yourself. Aren't you tired of the enemy winning by our own forfeit? Jesus points this out in our scripture this morning. As we look at the Gospel of John, I want to remind you that John's Gospel is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. Mark presents him as the servant. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. But John's focus was on presenting Jesus as the Son of God. He wants people to know who Jesus is so they will believe in him and receive the free gift of eternal life. As the Son of God, Jesus left us with lessons for living as his disciples. And throughout his ministry, he constantly provided his disciples with lessons for how they should live and serve. In other words, he wanted them to know that if he could serve as God, we can certainly serve as disciples. This is what we find happening in our text. This passage of scripture brings us to Jesus' week of passion. The Passion Week is the week just before Easter. It's a week we're looking forward to as we begin Lent on this week. He had entered Jerusalem on Sunday, and on Monday he cleansed the temple of those who turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. On Tuesday, it was a day of conflict filled with attempts to trip him up by the religious leaders so that they could have him arrested and removed from the scene. On Thursday, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room to observe Passover. And the verses we're considering occur during what's known as the Last Supper, when Jesus, knowing his time was near, teaches his disciples an important lesson. He teaches them what having a mind for ministry looks like and how to perform ministry. They have been with Jesus all week. They are aware of the tension in Jerusalem because he's now in town, and the Pharisees have ordered his arrest. They've gone among the people and said, if you see him, point him out and report him that we might be able to seize him. His enemies want him arrested, killed, and out of the way. And sitting at the table with him are his 12 closest disciples, including the one that would betray his love. They are so busy assembling, so busy talking, so busy meeting in order to eat. Because you know we do that well. We meet in order to greet that we might sit down and get something to eat. They were so busy doing that that they don't take time to appreciate one another or the presence of their Savior. How many of us have come to the understanding that when life gets hard and things are going wrong, I need to appreciate those who God has put into my circle? I got to stop complaining about every little thing and be grateful for what I already have. Scripture reveals to us that by this time, Jesus knew that he had authority from the Father over everything. He got up from the conversation and all the chit-chat. He removed his outer robe and wrapped a towel around his waist. Much to their surprise, Jesus, the highest ranking person in the room, takes the lowest position in the room to demonstrate servanthood, something that only a person with a ministry mindset would do. He pours water into a basin and starts washing the disciples' feet and drying them with a towel. The Bible lets us know Peter was horrified, but Jesus continued until everyone's feet had been washed. This may seem insignificant to you, but Jesus teaches the lesson about having a ministry mindset through his actions and not just through his words. Foot washing was a task for the lowest servant, yet Jesus, their master, performed it. And Jesus asked them, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He then commands them to follow his example and serve one another. The question that you and I must ask and answer is, will we in 2025 adopt Jesus' servant mindset, or will we remain focused on doing whatever we want and expecting God to be pleased with it? My sisters and brothers, Jesus is shifting the disciples' mindset from status to service. The disciples were always competing among themselves about which of them was the greatest. And when it came down to where the rubber meets the road, all of them ran. Jesus' examples prove that engaging in such a competition disqualified them all for consideration of greatness. We too must redefine ministry not as a title, but as an everyday lifestyle. Not for a position, but to take a position of service to the Lord. Jesus makes it clear when he said in the 15th verse, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." My sisters and brothers, serving others is not optional. It is the expectation of us. But to serve others consistently, to serve compassionately, to serve authentically, we must develop a ministry mindset. This is what is tragically missing from the world. The Church of Jesus Christ isn't always ministry minded. Things have gotten out of control and out of hand in the mission and message of the church, and the mission and message have been distorted by contemporary culture's attempt to define what the church ought to be according to their wishes. We need to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ has always been countercultural. The Church of Jesus Christ has never fit into what the world wanted, and you as a believer and a soldier of the Lamb should never allow someone who's on the outside of the ark of safety to dictate to you how you ought to live as a Christian. They don't know that the house of God is a spiritual hospital for the spiritually sick. Some people need a shot. Some people need a pill. Some people need surgery. But the blessing is Jesus is the master physician, and whatever your ailment is, he's ready for you. Never let somebody tell you you're a Christian. You ain't supposed to act like that. Baby, if you get in your word, there are people who acted all kinds of ways and God still used them. Things have gotten out of hand in the Christian community. You got preachers out here preaching motivational speeches instead of preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of today's music sounds like people trying to take Jesus on a date. rather than coming to Jesus saying, I'm a sinner, save my soul. Many of the songs today don't even mention his name. They just talk about he is good. That way they can put it in a club and put it in a romantic situation and then put it in an exercise video all at the same time because they wanted to have crossover appeal. But if you're sold out to Jesus, I want to sing songs that call his name. The church is no longer the destination on Sunday. It's simply a stop on the way to some other destination. The passion for worship is missing. Compassion among the people is missing. Uniformity is preferred over unity of the body. The message of salvation becomes second to promoting traditions and punitive sanctions because people are having human experiences. Serving has been replaced with self-serving ideas, and when the church isn't ministry-minded, the people are really just trying to get by without making any waves. We do a little here and give a little there and then wait for the blessings to fall. Jonathan Brooks writes in his book, Church Forsaken, he says, for many of us, being a Christian is about hunkering down, accepting our lot in life, trying to commit the least amount of personal sin as possible, not making God too angry, and then waiting for the day when we don't have to worry about those things anymore. That's not what Christianity is all about. And in this text, Jesus shows us a better way. He shows us what it is to have a ministry mindset, what it is to love people who don't even know you, what it is to give to others and not stand there waiting for them to give back unto you, what it is to be a light in dark places. Ministry is about serving, not being served. And God calls us to be original in our faith, not copies of other people. Jesus knew what his disciples did not understand. To be effective in ministry, we must first minister well to those closest to us. We cannot influence the world if we neglect our own spiritual growth and the relationships that God has planted in our lives. If we do not care about our own, how can we care for strangers? Jesus saw the disciples' lack of understanding and used as a powerful example to teach them. Being present with Jesus does not mean we automatically understand his ways. So he leads by action and not words. And we need to do the same. Because true Christian leadership is defined by our service. A ministry mindset requires a transformation of heart and mind. And we are all called to serve, not just a select few of us. When we call for volunteers, everybody ought to stand. But it's always the same people. And those who do nothing sit and criticize the people who do something and then have the nerve to say they always in the front. That's because you keep stepping back. Service is what real ministry is all about. But to be ministry-minded, there has to be a change of heart. There's got to be a conviction in your mind about where we fit in God's ministry plans. There must be an understanding about maintaining our relationship with Jesus and then with one another through sacrificial love and service. We have to understand that we have all been called to serve the Lord. Therefore, we have no excuse for being lazy. Jesus displays what it takes to have a ministry mindset. You see, in order to have a ministry mindset, it starts with humility. Jesus, knowing his divine authority, chose to serve instead of being served. The emphasis in verses 1 through 3 of this 13th chapter is on what the Lord knew. The verse says, Jesus knew of his divine authority over everything. He knew that the Lord placed him in charge, and he chose to serve rather than be served. What do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is if I put somebody here in charge, you know you're going to get just down downright ghetto. I'm in charge. I got the last say. It's going to be my way or the highway. No, Jesus shows them, even though I have all authority, I'm going to take the lowest position, because if I'm in charge, I need to set the example. Oh, God, Jesus knew not only that he was in charge, but he also knew that his hour had come. You see, before verse 1 of this 13th chapter, Jesus' hour was mentioned four times. In chapter 2, verse 4, in chapter 7, verse 30, in chapter 8, verse 20, John explicitly says that Jesus' hour had not come yet. Then in chapter 12, Jesus' hour had come, but it doesn't say Jesus knew it. But here in chapter 13, Jesus knows that his hour of suffering has come. His divinely appointed hour was when he would be glorified through his death, resurrection, and ascension. But that's not all Jesus knew. Jesus also knew that Judas would betray him. Sitting right there at the table with him, he knew Judas was right there. He knew Judas would betray him. And watch this. Judas got his feet washed too, and he still betrayed Jesus. Finally, Jesus knew that the Father had given him all things. Even in his humiliation, our Lord had all things through the Father, because Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what he had and where he was going. He was the complete master of the situation. You and I as believers should know that we have been born again of God, that we are one day going to be with God, and that in Christ we have all things. Therefore, we ought to be able to follow the Lord's example and serve others. What Jesus knew helped determine what Jesus did. And I want you to know, when you know who you are in God, and you know who you belong to, and you know that his hand is on you, it will determine your next actions. As long as you don't have confidence, as long as you don't know you're a child of God, as long as you're unsure about your relationship with Jesus, your actions will be shaky at best. The disciples were shocked when he took the role of a servant. You see, in Jewish culture, foot washing was a task for the lowest servant. Yet Jesus did it willingly. His act of humility rebuked their pride and their competitiveness. Because, see, they were always jockeying for position. They always wanted to be close to who could be closest to Jesus. And we have to learn that being closest to Jesus ain't always the position you want to be in. It's like people who want to be close to me or close to the first lady, and you think that that's the position to be in, and you don't understand that you take the hits when they start coming. You take the criticism. You get talked about behind your back. You get called everything but a child of God. And everybody ain't fit to be next to the pastor and the first lady. You see, in order to be next to the pastor and the first lady, you have to have enough ability to know the difference between your spiritual parents and your friends. And I want you to understand, you can't be next to us unless you first willing to sit at our feet. And if you're not willing to sit at our feet and take sound instruction and correction, because I don't need no buddies. Exactly. I need warriors. I need prayer warriors. I need people who can smell the devil when the devil hits the door, and who can say, he'll never know he was here because I got this. All this competing and trying to get next to this one and trying to get next to that one. You don't even know that it's not a position for you to be in. Because, baby, you can't take when somebody don't say hi. How you going to take when they come for you? And I want you to know, if you're going to stand next to me, they coming for you. If you're going to stand next to First Lady, they're going to come for you. And the people who don't like us going to try to go through you to get the information they need to try to hurt us. And if you're weak-minded and not ministry-minded, you'll be the biggest sucker since they made lollipops. Tell somebody, watch out. He'll make a Judas out of you every time. You better watch out. The devil will make a Judas out of you when you ain't looking. You better watch out. You want to be in the front when you need to be in the back because you ain't strong enough to stand in the front. You better watch out. You ain't as big and bad as you think you are. You better watch out. The devil will look at you and say, I know Apollos and I know Paul, but I don't know you. Oh, baby, I'm going to jump all over you and have you running around naked. He knew his time had come, and still, knowing, watch this, knowing that it was time for him to be crucified, Jesus doesn't do what most of us do. When most of us know we're in trouble, we mope. Our bottom lip goes right up under our front toe. Woe is me. Jesus teaches us something. Watch this. His time of suffering is here, and he decides, instead of crying about it, let me serve somebody else. Anybody here ever found out that when you are having a bad day, if you just spend time helping somebody else, God will lift the weight of your bad day right up off of your shoulders? Too often we confuse the poor in spirit from Matthew 5 and 3 with meaning poor spirited. And true humility, we associate that with timidity and inferiority. With all things put into his hands, Jesus didn't pick up the royal scepter of an earthly king. No, he picked up a towel and a basin and said, now can I serve you? Despite his authority, he humbled himself to show love through service. He was Lord and Master, yet he served his followers. True humility grows out of our relationship with God the Father. True humility is not weakness, it's confidence in God's plan and purpose. There's a Malaysian proverb that says, the fuller the ear is of rice grain, the lower it bends. The greatest example of humility is Jesus' death on the cross. And if Jesus, our Lord, served others, we must do the same. We today, just like the disciples that night, desperately need this lesson on humility. Because the church is filled with a worldly spirit of competition and criticism as believers compete to see who's the greatest. People wrestle for position and titles and opportunities to be up front. They got no ideas, no fresh revelations, no plan to build the kingdom, no prayer life, no worship standards, just a need to be seen and recognized. Pay attention to me because I got nothing else going on in my life. That's why so many don't have ministry mindsets. You see, elevation takes more than growing in knowledge. We must also grow in grace. And as we grow in grace, we'll develop the mind of Christ. We will display what it is to have a ministry mindset. And so I ask that you think about this. Are we willing to humble ourselves to serve others, even in the smallest ways? Because if Jesus humbled himself to serve, why shouldn't we? Jesus teaches us some things in this text. Not only that, he teaches us that a ministry mindset is sustained in holiness. Oh, boy. There he go. There he go. I ain't going to talk about your shacking and packing and none of that. But as Peter watched the Lord wash his friend's feet, I want you to check it out. Peter became more and more disturbed. He couldn't understand what he was doing. We know that Peter often spoke impulsively, mostly out of his ignorance, and had oftentimes had to be corrected by Jesus. You remember when Peter opposed Jesus going to the cross? It ain't gonna happen on my watch. And then he denied him three times. You remember the time he tried to manage the Lord's affairs at the transfiguration? He was like, we ought to just stay up here. And he's like, Peter, the work is down there. You already trying to stay up here. Or do you remember when he expressed the faith of the disciples without realizing that one of them was in the number, one of them in the number was a traitor? When Jesus said, who do men say that? We say, you are the Son of God. We know you the Son of God. Oh, you do? You talk to Judas? Judas don't think like you think. Peter often spoke before he even knew what he was talking about. God knows we got some folk in the church that speak and don't know what they're talking about. You get a portion of the story and start running the wrong way like Forrest Gump. You run into the wrong end zone, Forrest. He says to Jesus, I can't let you wash me. The word translated wash is nipto and means to wash a part of the body. But the word translated washed in John 13:10 is lo'u and means to bathe all over. This distinction is important because Jesus was trying to teach his disciples the importance of a holy walk. Peter resisted Jesus washing his feet because he did not understand the lesson. Christ's words to Peter are important. He says, if I do not wash you, you have no part or communion with me. There is a difference between union and communion. Peter was in union with Christ as one of his own through faith, but sin can break our communion with the Lord. There's a difference between sonship and fellowship. Only as we allow Christ to cleanse us can we remain in fellowship with him and enjoy his presence and power. It takes humility and grace to serve other people. But it also takes humility and grace to allow others to serve us. The beautiful thing about a submissive spirit is that it can both give and receive to the glory of God. Jesus explained that cleansing is necessary to have fellowship with him. It's a wonderful thing to deepen your fellowship with God. The important thing is to be honest with him and with yourself and keep your feet clean. We can accept Jesus. We are fully cleansed. When we come to Jesus and ask him to save us, he touches us and we are fully cleansed. But daily cleansing, known as repentance, is needed to maintain closeness with God. You see, sin hinders our relationship with Jesus and our effectiveness in ministry. And if we permit unconfessed sin in our lives, we hinder our walk with God, and that is when we need to have our feet washed. In the Old Testament, priests had to be washed before serving. So we must cleanse our hearts before serving. The water of the Word of God cleanses us and keeps us from sin. Ministry is about spiritual purity as much as it is about service. A holy walk is needed to sustain a ministry mindset. If you're not walking with God, you can't see the need in people. You just see the fault of people. And I've come to the conclusion that everybody who walking around placing blame on other folk, they don't have no ministry mindset. All they're doing is looking for reasons to hide behind your problem so that they don't have to deal with their own problem. Tell somebody, stay up off my sidewalk and clean your sidewalk. Stay up out my business and handle your business. Baby, I come to the conclusion, if you can't pray for me, keep my name out your mouth. If you can't lift me, then keep your hands off me. Because I don't need you to lay hands on me. I can lay hands on myself. I just need somebody who knows how to pick me up when I've fallen and encourage me when my heart is heavy. A ministry mindset starts with humility and is sustained through holiness. But a ministry mindset also seeks to meet practical needs. Look at somebody, tell them, you always want to do the big stuff. We need somebody to pick up the trash. You always want to do the big stuff where you're going to be the worship leader. You get to stand in front of everybody and hold everybody's attention. Sit down. We need somebody who's going to turn the lights on. We need somebody who's going to make sure that the gate is locked. We need somebody to pick up all that dog poop that our neighbor keep leaving on our grass. You walk right past it, but if I give you the microphone, you'll be the first one standing up here. Let me tell y'all what the Lord told me. He told you to go outside and clean up the dog poop, but you walk past him. Jesus met a real immediate need by washing his disciples' feet. He asked the disciples if they understood what he had done. And it's likely that they didn't. So he explained it. He had given them a lesson in humble service and an example for them to follow. The world thinks that happiness is the result of others serving us. But absolute joy comes when we serve others in the name of Jesus. The world constantly pursues happiness through people, places, and things. But that is like chasing a shadow. It is always beyond your reach. Jesus was their master. So he had every right to command them to serve him. But instead, he gets up and serves them. He gave them an example of faithful Christian ministry. Jesus showed them that serving is not just about words. It requires actions. And his actions provided a practical need. You see, in those days, people traveled by foot, and their feet would become covered in dust and dirt from the road. You see, people would go to bathhouses and wash their whole body. But when they traveled on the road, their feet would become dusty. Washing their feet then became a practical gift to them, because everything we do in ministry doesn't have to make the news. This wasn't like when he fed the 5,000. It wasn't like when he raised the dead, but it met the need that they had. And going forth, they could see that only what you do for Christ is going to last. True joy comes from serving others, not from being served. True joy comes from meeting the practical needs of others. Not everything needs to be big. The world expects Christians to always show up big. But that concept is relevant to the one in need. You see, I may not need you to show up big. I just may need you to give me some direction. I may need a little spare change, a ride to church, taking a call from somebody who's in distress. It may not make the news, but it may be everything to the person who's calling on you. The world sees happiness as being in power, but Jesus teaches that joy comes through humble service. Our service should extend beyond the church, meeting practical needs in our communities. What practical ways can you serve your family, your church, your community? What is your ministry mindset leading you to do for somebody else? Well, the last thing I'm just going to give you, and we're going to go home after this, after we have communion, but I just want to let you know that ministry, having a ministry mindset, is a command, not an option. Jesus' foot washing exemplified humility and service. You see, in Middle Eastern countries, it was slaves who washed the feet of guests. Here, Christ took the place of a slave. He makes this clear to his disciples. He says, if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, then you should wash one another's feet and serve each other in humility. Watch this. Jesus says, if your Lord and Savior has washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. Look what he does not say. He does not say, you should wash my feet. He says, you should wash one another's feet. Because a ministry mindset is not looking for reciprocation. Mm-hmm. You know, those of you who walk around, I ain't going to say nothing to them. They ain't say nothing to me. I ain't going to speak to them. They ain't speak to me. I ain't going to get them the water. They ain't get no water for me. You don't have a ministry mindset. You got a selfish mindset. But when you have a ministry mindset, if I can help somebody by meeting a need, whether my need is met by them or not is irrelevant. Because if I'm doing what God sent me to do, somebody else will meet my need. Christ's actions in verses 1 through 5 represent what he did when he left heaven to come to earth.
Philippians said he arose from his throne, laid aside the outward expression of his glory. He became a servant and humbled himself to die on the cross. And because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And after he completed the work of redemption, he put on his garments and sat down, foreshadowing his resurrection, his ascension to glory, and the enthronement at the Father's right hand. Peter must have thought about this in his lesson in 1 Peter 5:5-6, when he said, "You who are younger, accept the authority of the elders. Dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. At the right time, he may lift you up in power." Too many Christians today are fighting for recognition and position and need to recall this lesson in humility. Church, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Jesus commanded his disciples to follow his example of serving others. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Pride, you see, won't allow you to serve anybody but yourself. But humility will strengthen your ministry mindset. If Jesus, our master, served, then we are expected to do the same. The disciples had been arguing about who was the greatest. And Jesus showed them that true greatness comes through service. Serving others is not a suggestion. It is essential to your Christian survival. Some of you are not feeling like life is worth anything because you don't serve anybody. Ministry means stepping out of your comfort zone to serve others with humility. And when you serve others with humility, it means that whatever I do for you, I don't put it on social media. Matter of fact, whatever I do for you, if anybody find out, it'll be because you told it. Leadership in the kingdom of God is about lifting up others, not seeking power. We are not just called to know these truths, we are called to live these truths. So as I reach my close, how are we living out Jesus' command to serve others daily? Thank you. Humility, holiness, service, they lead to joy in Jesus. You have to be sure to keep these lessons in their proper sequence. Humbleness, holiness, then happiness. Submit to the Father. Keep your life clean. Serve others. This is God's formula for spiritual joy. Serving others deepens your relationship with God and strengthens your faith. You know why? Watch this. Because your relationship with each other determines your relationship with God. Oh, y'all missed that. In other words, you can't go to God about your brother or sister talking about you don't like them and expect not to get popped in the mouth. Serving others will deepen your relationship with God. The most significant impact we can have is through loving people with humble service. Now, I gotta add this little piece here. You are not always going to be in a position to help everybody. But watch this. If you can't help, make sure you don't hurt. One of the problems we have in our society is that people talk too much. And social media has given a platform to people who years ago didn't have nobody to tell nothing to. Watch this. Oh, God, help me. Those of you who have nothing to do, you don't work, You don't go to school. You don't read. You don't volunteer. You don't have an interest in building up anything or anybody. You sit around and allow your mind to be the devil's playground. You are at risk of being destroyed. Oh, God. That's why this Lenten season, make sure you keep yourself in check. Don't spend a single moment talking about what somebody else is doing. Baby, what are you doing? And if you see your sister or brother hurting or falling or failing or faltering, if you can't reach out a hand to lift them up, keep your mouth off of them, mind your business, and leave the work to God. He'll send the right person. Somebody holler, I want to be the right person. Yeah, I want to be the one that can help anybody and not sit in judgment. I want to be the one that can bless anybody and not sit there and talk about, well, it depends on how you got in this situation. That'll depend on whether I help you or not. No, if God put me in a position to help, I want to help. And then I want to tell people, I don't need to know how you got here. I just need to know how you getting up out of here. And let God do all the rest. Well, my sisters and brothers, what I love about this, let me close this right here. What I love about this, that Jesus does not take this message to the multitudes. Nope. Jesus, on many occasions, preached to multitudes. He never gives them this message. He saves this lesson for his disciples because he knows that the future of the church is going to be on their shoulders. And he understands that if y'all can't get it right within the circle, you ain't never going to get it right outside the doors. Because the ministry mindset starts within. Oh, good God Almighty. High five somebody, tell them, neighbor, it starts with us. We need to get ourselves together. We need to get right with God. We need to now reestablish ourselves as a true church of the living God. That means that we recognize that everybody in here ain't perfect, but God put you here for a reason. And since we're in the same family, I'm not going to let you fall and then stay dirty. I'm going to pick you up and help you get back on your feet. And you know what a real brother and a real sister does for you? When you have fallen and you can't get yourself together, they block you. So that can't nobody see you until God get finished cleaning you. Can I get a witness? What do you mean, Pastor? Go on over to Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. The Bible says when the father saw his son coming from afar off, meaning he was looking for him the entire time. When he saw him, he ran up to him, wrapped his arms around him, kissed him, and then said, let me put a robe over you. I don't want nobody to see the mud on you. I don't want nobody to smell the filth on you. I'm going to hide your failure until God can heal you. That's what it is to work on the inside. Tell somebody, tell them we need a ministry mindset. Baby, don't tear me down. Build me up. Baby, don't leave me in the cold. Bring me in where the warmth is. Baby, don't make me feel bad because I already feel bad. Help me find my joy. It starts within. It starts within. Some of you this morning. Some of you this morning owe somebody else in here an apology. And watch this. They don't even know. You've been telling their business. They don't even know. You've been running their name down. They don't even know how you act and how you really feel. They have no idea that the one they thought was lifting them was the one with their foot on their neck. But as we get ready to come to the table, and ask God to do big things in our lives. We need to get that mess up off of us. If you are not living right, you have no relationship with Jesus, you have not confessed him as your Lord and Savior, this is not the time for you to live in this country and not have the covering of God on your life. And if you have the covering of God and you keep messing it up because you don't know how to treat one another, you don't have a ministry mind, you can't love the people around here, you need to go to those people and say, please pardon me. I've fallen short of the word of God. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but I know how y'all talk. I hear what you say. I watch what you post. I look at how you act. We got some grown babies in here, but the devil is a lie. Wash the house, Holy Ghost. Wash the hearts, Holy Ghost. Pour your spirit, God, until we are convicted, until we are convinced, until we are converted, until we are changed, until we are saved. How many of you in here, you need a fresh assignment? Y'all didn't hear me. How many of you in here need a new assignment? Your assignment for the past couple years has been pew warmer. You have been the spiritual Siskel and Ebert, judging everybody's movie. Thumbs down. Oh, look at what she got on, thumbs down. Look at what he said, thumbs down. And when you look in the mirror, you think it's thumbs up. No, baby, it ain't thumbs up. Well, I can't say that. God says, you're messing up. You are not taking advantage of my grace. What do you mean, Pastor? None of us should be here. If you ever been in a car accident and you still here, you ought to be telling God, thank you. If you ever been rolled into an operating room and an anesthesiologist tell you, count backwards, and all you remember is one number, and the next time you remember anything, you was waking up. Understand, between falling asleep and waking up, you didn't have to come back. You could have left up out of here. If you ever been in a nightclub somewhere and can't remember how you got home in the morning, you ought to be telling God, thank you. If you ever been so drunk or so high, you can't remember what you did. You don't know if you killed somebody. You don't know if you almost got killed. And God has got you right here in his house. You ought to be telling God, thank you. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them it starts within. It starts within. We got to stop criticizing each other. We got to stop condemning each other. We got to start speaking truth to power. We got to start telling people the gospel truth. We got to start telling people, baby, I love you. Get yourself together. You're about to bust hell wide open. You out here running the street and then come to church and try to fool God. You ain't fooling nobody. I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm saying it because I love you. I'm saying it because I want the best for you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm gonna let y'all in on this little secret. One of the things I never ever wanted to be. I never wanted to be the kind of pastor that blocks preachers. Y'all don't know this, but I'll let you in on a secret. Some pastors put vices on the preachers. Yes. Yes. You can't go here. You can't go here. Say this. Don't do that. Instead, I want to spend time with them. to sharpen their sword. Because I want to see them soar. This is my assignment. I'm not complaining. It may be all that it will ever be. Only God knows what he has. Their assignment may be to preach to millions. Maybe that's not my assignment. But while they're preaching to millions, I'll be saying, I preach to the one that preached to the millions. I want you to get that in your spirit and just go to three people around you and say, I need to see you soar. I need to see you soar. We got to start within. I need to see your gift blow up. I need to see your gift expressed. I need to see the anointing flow on your life. I need to see blessings start dropping in your lap. I need to see you get out of your seat and be everything. Be everything. Be everything. Be everything. Be everything. Be everything. Be everything God has called you to be. The only way you're going to save your family. The only way you're going to save the community. The only way you're going to save your classmates. The only way you're going to save your brothers and sisters is to start within the house. Come on, come on. Go to somebody, tell them, I got you, I got you, I got you. I got you, I got you, I got you. I got you, I got you, I got you. I ain't gonna let you fall. I ain't gonna let you fail. I got you, I got you, I got you. I got you. I got you. Come on. Lift somebody's arm. Tell them it's hard now, but it gets better. It's hard now, but it gets better. The load gets lighter. The day gets brighter. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus knew that they would need each other. He knew that once he was crucified, they would need each other. That he knew once they found out that Judas would betray him, they would need each other. We got to stop trying to operate like an island. We need each other. That's why the songwriter said, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need, you are important to me. Come on, hug somebody. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Oh my God. Come on, can we say that real loud? I need you. You need me. We're all apart. Stand with me. Agree with me. We are all apart. It is his will that every need. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Oh my God, say it real loud. You are
I need you to survive. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's make our confession and commitment. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you. Oh, my God. Here's the most important part. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you. I pray. You pray. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you. Come on, everybody. It is His will that every knee. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Maybe there's one today. The Lord is telling you, you're not going to make this journey on your own. You need to be a part of the body of Christ. You need to be a part of the household of faith. You need to know the Lord Jesus and the pardoning of your sins. And you need to connect with like-minded believers. You need your own prayer partner. You need somebody who's going to give God praise whenever, every time a breakthrough comes your way. You need to be in the family of God. If you're here, we extend to you an invitation to come and tell Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. Save me from my sins. Rescue me from my own self-destruction. If you're here, we invite you to come on up to the front. Give your heart and your life to Jesus. It's crucial. It's crucial. We're living in dangerous times. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're already saved. You're already a Christian. You just don't have a church home. You're just not planted anywhere. Woo! It's hard. It's hard to be out here and not be planted. You'll be dried up in the corner like them plants at Home Depot in the parking lot. You need somebody to come and plant you. If you're here and you're ready to be planted, we invite you to come. Hallelujah. Is there one? Is there one? I don't want the moment to pass you. Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want to live any kind of way. I want to be right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Check your row. If everybody knows they're right with God, everybody knows they're safe in His arms. If everybody's safe, come on, break out in praise. Hallelujah. Come on and hug somebody. Come on and hug somebody. Amen. Somebody ain't been hugged or loved all week. Come on, hug somebody. It starts within, y'all. Ministry mindset starts within. We got to get it right on the inside before we can get it right on the outside. Yeah. Woo. Bless your precious people, Lord. Bless your precious people, Lord. Bless your precious people, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are preparing to move right into our communion service. Amen. In the morning, He's real, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, He gave me the victory. So many people doubt Him. I can't live without Him. In the morning he's real, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gives me the victory. So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Uh-huh. That's good right there, boy, I tell you. Mm-hmm. See, we wasn't trying to take him on no date. We were just talking about how he's real to us. So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. It's personal. He's real to me. He don't have to be real to you. He's real to me. Amen. Your doubt ain't going to interfere with my faith. Oh, my God. When you have an experience with him, you understand that I'm not going to let nobody disturb my faith. Hallelujah. Because he's so real to me. Hallelujah. We are preparing to enter our communion service. Let me just say to all of you, communion service, coming to the Lord's table, is a sacrament. It is one of the two things Jesus told the church to do before he left. He told us to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he told us to do this in remembrance of him. But what is important for us to understand is he was talking to his believers. He was talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. He was not talking to the world. So Paul clarifies it in 1 Corinthians when he says, don't participate in this if you are not a Christian. Paul says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to themselves. Why? Because they didn't respect the Lord's sacrifice. They didn't respect his body. So if you are not a professing, confessing Christian, you have not received the Lord Jesus in the pardoning of your sin, you are welcome to remain in the sanctuary, but we do ask that you do not take of the elements. We are asking you to police yourself. Please don't think, well, I got to do this because everybody else is doing this. Everybody else ain't going to go to hell. So I'm asking you, please, if you are not a Christian, you're welcome to worship with us in the communion service. We just ask that you don't take of the elements. And if you are saved, but February wasn't a good month for your Christian character. Oh, y'all act like I don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody here ever have some dark days and you saved? And you have to look in the mirror and say, who just did that? I remind you that the Bible tells us that we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means that unlike our Catholic brothers and sisters, you don't have to come and tell me what you did. And then I help you get pardoned or absolved from your sin. No, you're a royal priesthood. We believe in the priesthood of believers, meaning that you could go to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I didn't do so good in February. I said some things, did some things I shouldn't have done. Please forgive me. Wash me and make me whole again. And you know what? He will hear you and he will wash you. I wish I had some witnesses in the house. Amen. during the sermon, I said, some of you may need to get up and go apologize to somebody. So before we step to this table asking God to do big things, if you need to ask somebody to forgive you, you wasn't ashamed to do what you did. Don't be ashamed to go and apologize. Amen. I know my people well. I don't want nobody to know my business. It's already out there. Matter of fact, everybody's sitting there waiting for you to get up. Be like, I know you getting up. All that stuff you did, I know good and well you getting up. Amen. I'm just trying to tell y'all what it is. Amen. Can't say I never told you. Amen. Lord, I gave him a chance. All right. I'll be reading our scripture from Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. The word of the Lord says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? Thus concludes the reading of God's word. I've read for your hearing verses 14 through 22 of the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke from the New Living Translation, the word of God for the people of God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us at this time prepare for our litany. And we're going to ask that those who can stand will stand as we do this responsively. Amen. As we come to the Lord's table, let us come with a spirit of humility and penitence. Let us examine ourselves, our thoughts, our actions, our motives, and our attitudes toward others.
O Holy God, have mercy and forgive us for our shortcomings.
Help us to remember our responsibility to our families and our neighbors, our stewardship to you, and the work you have given to our hands.
O Living God, we stand in need of your grace, strength, and mercy.
As we eat the bread which represents your body, which is the true and living bread, open our eyes to recognize the intimacy that you yearn to share with us.
O loving God, teach us to love you above all else.
As we drink the cup which represents Christ's blood shed for us, we thank you for the new covenant, love ye one another, which is written in our hearts. Let us rejoice because our names are written in heaven. May this Lord's Supper energize every area of our lives and enable us to transcend our circumstances, our inadequacies, and our enemies.
God, who sees us, touch and empower us, so that our lives will be renewed.
We praise you, O God, who made us your own people through the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Altogether, abide in us, Savior and Redeemer. Fill us with the life-giving power of your Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Give God some praise as you return to your seat. At this time, we ask that we would prepare our hearts, amen, for the blessing of the elements led by our deacon ministry.
Lord, let us pray. pray. Lord, I ask you to look inside of each and every one of the people, and each and every one in the congregation, and each and every one on the line. Those that didn't come forward when the pastor gave them a chance, I ask you to look into yourself and ask God for forgiveness. And for those that don't look inside themselves, I'm asking God for forgiveness for you. Lord, please forgive us for anything that we did that wasn't pleasing to you. Forgive us for anything or any shortcomings that we had that wasn't right, Lord. Lord, please continue to bless us, guide us, and teach us and show us the right way to go and the right thing to do. As we come up to the table, Lord, I want you to take these elements from a natural, from their natural use to a spiritual use. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, to the Father in heaven, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. At this time, let us offer our prayer of confession as we read together. Have mercy upon us, Almighty God, for our hard-heartedness, our pride, our self-sufficiency, for promises broken, for forgotten vows, for secret faults, for words of anger and bitterness, for strife and temptation, and for receiving your blessings without saying thank you. Forgive us now, have mercy upon us now, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do confess these things and so much more. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table, I ask that you would remember the scripture we read this morning says, tarry one for another. As you come and step to the table to receive your elements, we ask that the person behind you would just wait until you have received your element and walk away before stepping to the table. Let's remain in a mindset of ministry and prayer, praying for one another. After everyone has received the elements, who are coming for the elements, we will all commune together at the same time. Please follow the instructions of the ushers at this time. Hallelujah, let us stand. Jesus instructed the disciples to remember him, remember his sacrifice, remember the price he paid for our sins when he took our sins to the cross. He didn't tell us how often to do it, but he did say, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. In other words, when we come and take of this body and this blood, think about what he did for us as individuals. Nobody knows your walk better than you. Nobody knows your moral struggle better than you. And so as we come to the table today, we know that the bread represents his broken body and the cup represents his blood shed. Let us do this today in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. Let us drink together. Let us praise God together. Through it all. I know this go back for some of y'all. Through it all, the late, great Andre Crouch. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, yeah, through it all. Oh, yeah, through it all. I've learned that sounds pretty good. Come on, everybody, through it all. He wrote this when he was going through a hard time. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Oh, yes, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Hallelujah. I bid you Godspeed today. I pray that you will have a blessed day in the Lord. I pray that you will have a blessed week Let us prepare ourselves for the beginning of the Lenten season on Ash Wednesday. We want to maintain a mindset of ministry. We want to maintain a mindset of repentance for falling short of the glory of God. And watch God rest upon us, lift us, strengthen us, and guide us through the week. If it be God's will, we'll see you on Wednesday night for the service. Until then, we pray God's peace be upon you. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you now. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, may the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide upon us henceforth, now and forever. All of God's children saying amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, family.